It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscovered Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Before My Time. I am your host, Gelsey Laurie, and we are joined with our co-host, producer, and friend, Matt Kelly, and we are getting into our top five favorite Led Zeppelin songs. Let's rock it!
To entertain you, we'll sing your songs for good times, the best times. You can't go wrong. We'll two-step, a new step. It won't be long when the Dixielands are playing. Soon you'll be swaying. So come on, sing along.
Gelsey, 50 years ago, the album House of the Holy came out by Led Zeppelin. We'll save this for after we do this top five, because I'm realizing that I am such a lukewarm Led Zeppelin fan, with the exception of one song on my list. It is like the most basic radio hit songs list that I've ever put together. But it's undeniable that this band... 8 albums, and I would say that at least 6 of them are like considered among the greatest albums mm-hmm. in rock and roll history. So just a phenomenal run for this band. Before we dive into this top 5 that we're going to do, I just got to ask what your history is with Led Zeppelin and this album, The House of the Holy.
House of the Holy, I would say, is probably the one I grew up with the most. And it wasn't until my teenage years that I got... I think we already had the CDs, but I had all of them. I had Led Zeppelin 1, 2, 3, 4. And so through high school, that they were kind of in my rotating realm of what I would throw on. So I'm pretty damn familiar with all their music. I think there's a few songs that I'm like, oh, I haven't heard that one. Now, obviously, the ones that stand out and the more famous classic ones I know better, blah, blah, blah. But my dad, and I will get into this story, it's kind of has to do with one of my songs. But I was introduced to them at a very, I would say, like, 4 years old to them. Yeah. And that I throw to my dad. So that was definitely one of theirs. And then I sported my freshman year of high school. There was a phase where all I wore was this like oversized black Led Zeppelin t-shirt and my black Converse. And I like wouldn't do my hair and I would drag my bag and I'd come home and be like, school sucks. And my mom's like, that's how you went to school today. And I just like wore that every day. I went through a lot of phases. And that was my,
I don't give a shit. Describing the girl that I would have gone home every day being like, I wish she would talk to me.
Well, it's funny because my freshman year, that's like, that was a huge phase of just like the Led Zeppelin t-shirt phase. And it drove my mom crazy. She's like, I will do your hair tomorrow. Can you please wear makeup? And I was just like, I don't care about high school. And I really didn't. By the end of my freshman year, I think I was going to school in high heels. And I was like, fuck it, fine. Like, and I just had fun and I made it a fashion.
No, you really had a Sandy and Grease transition.
Huge. Or like a Britney Murphy and Clueless, however you want to go. I was introduced at a very young age from Led Zeppelin. So they've always just kind of been in my life.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, let's start with you since you're more of the Zeppelin aficionado. What are you dropping in the number five slot?
All right,
for
my
your
top five
Led
starts
Zeppelin top five.
Starts off number five. We're going with the Immigrant Song.
Ooh, okay. Because I know that we're going to have a lot of crossover and you know these songs better than me, I'm just going to say that's somewhere on my list. Let's talk about it now, though.
Cool. I love this one. I hate when you're like, hold off. I'm like, ah, fine, your turn. It feels like I keep getting skipped on Uno and we just get to have like Matt.
No, I feel like there's a really good chance that at least three, if not four, of the songs in my top five are on your list. So we're just going to have fun with this. That opening guitar riff, that wail, that
it's so good. And it's kind of crazy that this made only number five, not higher on my list, because it is. So it's from the album Led Zeppelin 3.
Which is the first album I bought by them.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, there we go. A little Matt Kelly fact.
Released November 5th, 1970. It's written by Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. Now, this did reach number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100. And Led Zeppelin was typically regarded as an album-oriented group, but the Immigrant Song was one of the band's several hit singles. So this one did do very good. Now, the writing of it, it was written during their tour of Iceland, Bath, and Germany in the summer of 1970. The opening date of this tour took place in Reykjavik, Iceland, which I've been to, which inspired Plant to write the lyrics. And he explained in an interview later, "We weren't being pompous. We did come from the land of ice and snow. We were guests of Icelandic government of a culture mission. We were invited to play a concert in Reykjavik. And the day before we arrived, all the civil servants went on strike and the gig was going to be canceled. The university prepared a concert hall for us and it was phenomenal. The response from the kids was remarkable and we had a great time. Immigrant Song was about that trip and it was the opening track on the album that was intended to be incredibly different." And it was 6 days after Led Zeppelin's appearance in Reykjavik, the band performed the song for the first time in concert during the Bath Festival. So they were inspired, wrote it, and immediately performed it, which is really rare.
Yeah, it is definitely like, that's a, man, if I was forming like a classic rock cover band, I feel like Immigrant Song would be like, oh, we're starting the set with this one. Like, it's such a good opener.
And I love, I feel like all of these songs have a reference for me, like when it's used in that movie and this, that. And of course, I'm a huge School of Rock fan, but I love in that, like, I can't not see Jack Black singing the beginning of this song when he's in the band with the kids and turning around. Like, it's just the perfect mix of Jack Black facials with the opening of this song. It's perfect.
Love it. Love it. All right. So the most obscure song on my list is my number five.
Okay.
The Rover from Physical Graffiti. So my introduction to the song, when I was a young wee little lad, and I would hang out at my grandfather's house. I've never really told you about this. So my grandparents, and thus my mother, grew up in this very Italian suburb outside of Philadelphia, where it was like a lot of these like very tall homes, like tall row homes. So there was 9 of them plus my great grandparents all living under one roof. Like your classic, like, yeah, like I would say more like Moonstruck.
Did they all sleep in one bed? Yeah, Moonstruck.
Like just like, oh, every family member is just under one roof. Mm-hmm. My mom can talk a little bit of Italian because my great grandparents never spoke English.
That's cool.
So they only like spoke it. My grandmother and grandfather would only speak Italian to their parents and then knew English with the kids, so they picked up stuff here and there. But everybody in my parents' family was a musician and or went on and married musicians. So they had a garage, but they converted the garage into a full rehearsal and recording studio.
No.
So like you would go outside and it was like this giant, like probably the size of my bedroom or bigger, just like drum sets, guitar amps, like a whole like 32 channel soundboard with like a CD player hooked into it so that you could have it blowing through the speakers to play along. And my uncle was in there drumming, And it was just me and him. And he's like, oh, put this album on, put on track two. And it was The Rover. So he could practice drumming it for a gig. And I was like, what is this? Because like
mine exploded.
Yeah, like I had heard of Led Zeppelin. And I feel like, I'm sure it'll show up on one of our lists. But their biggest song is obviously Stairway to Heaven. So for me, I think of that soft guitar part. So like for something to just like kick off into this like heavy drum beat, I was like, what is this? And it really made me start to dive into a little bit more of Led Zeppelin. And they never became like my band the way like I took to the Beatles like a fish in water when I heard the Beatles. Like they're Queen, same situation. Even like a group like ZZ Top or an artist like Billy Joel, where it was like, I needed to know every B-side, I needed to own every album. That was never Zeppelin for me, but the song The Rover holds kind of a special place in my heart because that was my gateway into knowing more of them than just like the one song that I knew on the radio.
Yeah, like that. That's why my like intro song, aside from it being fucking awesome and I love it, made it on my list because it has that sentimental value. But that's a good five. All right, I'm going to move on to my number four, and I'm going to take you to the album itself, Houses of the Holy, with Over the Hills and Far Away.
That was one of my honorable mentions.
Oh,
it was so close.
How could it not make it? Oh, I just, so the beginning of the song, I took guitar lessons for like a hot minute when I was a teenager with my dad, and I'd play, he has a Fender. And so I would use his Fender, and I bought this little amp, again, drove my mom crazy. Can you tell? She's not into the rock and roll. So when I'm playing the electric guitar in my Led Zeppelin shirt, she was not a fan. But this was one of the riffs I taught myself, was the opening to the song, which is really difficult. I did that, like, I didn't play guitar very long. I didn't really know how to play guitar, but what I did was I would just like pick a song and tackle the beginning. Like I could kill Blackbird on the acoustic guitar, which is one of the hardest, not hardest, but like a very difficult intricate song to play.
Yeah. I've played guitar for 10 years and I'm not very good, but I can't play Blackbird.
Yeah, you know, and that's I could not play guitar, and that's like I crushed Blackbird. And then the beginning of this song, I got pretty good at it because I would just sit and I didn't know how to do anything else, so I would just slowly go through it. I couldn't play this whole song. I could just play the really difficult intro, but
I would argue that this song is my favorite Robert Plant vocal. Like,
yeah, I could,
like the way he sings the verses in this song when it really starts rocking is so good.
Yeah. It's so this again, it's from Houses of the Holy. It was released May 24th, 1973. It was recorded 1972. It was written by Page and Plant, and it hits number 51 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. They wrote the song in 1970 at a Bronyrar, whatever that means, a small cottage in Wales. Fucking internet. A small cottage in Wales where they stayed after a grueling North American concert tour. Initially, it was titled Many, Many Times, but Over the Hills and Far Away. And it does. They're really good at this. And this is one of my favorite things about Zeppelin, is starting with a kind of softer, be it slower, be it you think it's going to be a slow song, you think it's going to be this, you know, hey, lady, you got the love I need, slow, into what it becomes, this hard-hitting, it just builds so well, and nothing gets me off like a song that builds. Hashtag Freebird, hashtag on the no playlist. For those of you who don't know, I'm not allowed to drive to Freebird. I will speed. I will crash my car. I've done it. It's fine. It's my Jenny doing coke on the patio moment. But so that's, I fucking love Zeppelin for that reason. Because they do, it's as much as I'm not, I am a huge Zeppelin fan, that's a lie, what I was going to say, but I'm not as big as a Led Zeppelin fan as I am, say, a Rolling Stones fan. Like, I know all the B-sides to Stones. But Zeppelin lies in the category of all of their music is like, I'm going to call it sexual. Like, it's that thing that internally get me off in my soul. Like, it's, their music's orgasmic, and their build is like, oh, it's that's how it is to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, there's something about the music that they make that like, it doesn't sound, how do I say this? it's not sexy time music. It's fucking music.
Yeah, like, yes. Like Marvin Gaye, you know, is like, sexy time music. Or, yeah, but no, this is
it's grimy. Like, yeah.
And that's
actually we'll get into another song by theirs that I will say
it's
really
like
gives those vibes.
Against the wall, picture frames are coming off.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna just for the sake of conversation, I'm gonna swap my four and three real quick.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say my number four is Whole Lotta Love, because that is some like
that is a honorable mention. And the slide, you got a whole lot of love.
That's what I mean. That's like you don't have sensual love making to someone that you love and appreciate to that song. You're like,
you love them so much, Matt, that it turns into aggression.
Yeah. Things are falling off of walls.
That's
like
healthy, right? You love someone so much you can let them hit you. No, I'm just kidding. I've had great relationships. I've never been hit. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. I've not been abused physically, just emotionally.
Oh my god, that's so fucking funny. But yeah, it's like it's grimy. Like but I love it.
Oh, it's so good. It's raw. All right, moving on with some hardcore aggressive lovemaking music.
Yeah, so you're number three.
So my number three. All right, I want to walk away from this. That theme, because what I'm about to talk about, my number three is my introduction to Led Zeppelin. It is Misty Mountain Hop from the album Led Zeppelin 4. Misty Mountain Hop. This is the very first Led Zeppelin song I ever heard as a child. And my dad would play it. I mean, it's such a great, even just the start of that. And we would listen to it as kids. And my sister and I would always make fun of it when they're, you know, walking in the park, just the, what do you think I saw? And we would always imitate that. And so anytime there was a Led Zeppelin song on, my dad was really good at kind of introducing music to my sister and I, but getting us to hear the singer and being able to identify the style and sound of a band and recognize them in other songs. So I do shout out Dad, hey, what up? Thanks for that music history introduction. But he was really good at doing that. And so he would get us to a point where he could play a song and we could kind of recognize it. But I didn't necessarily know that when we heard Misty Mountain Hop, it wasn't solidified yet that like this is Led Zeppelin. So anytime a different Led Zeppelin song would come on the radio or his car, he would always go, who's singing this? And my sister and I would listen for a second and we'd always go, what do you think I saw? So that's how I knew Led Zeppelin for the longest time was, what do you think I saw? And that's how I knew. And I could identify any, I mean, he has a very identifiable voice, but to a four-year-old, I was able to kind of distinctively hear it, and it was because of this song. So I love this song so much, but I do love the beginning guitar. It just has this real cool like groove. And but there is the most common interpretation of this song's title involves a reference to the Misty Mountains and J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit, which I read that and I was like, lame. That's not what this is about.
So here's the thing. I don't know this song off the top of my head. I'm sure if I heard it, I'd be like, oh, that
one. Oh my God, you don't know this song?
I don't think I do, but I have always heard references to the fact that Led Zeppelin sings a bunch of songs about hobbits. So I'm assuming this is at least one of those songs.
I really don't know what time it was. You know, if I don't know how well-versed in soundtrack knowledge. I mean, you should know this. So this song is used in Almost Famous when they're driving in their limo across the bridge into New York City. And they're like, well, kid, we did everything but get you laid. And he kind of smiles and they're like, oh... that moment, this song is playing.
Then I definitely know the song. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. Because I watched Almost Famous semi-religiously for like a year when I first saw it. I was like, this movie's fucking unbelievable.
I probably watched it for years, multiple times. I would say a week, if not like every day. It was just on. Like, I lived and breathed that movie. And then I like lived my best Penny Lane life. Like, one time when I was 17... I was at a bar drinking with a Beatles cover band, and they were like all in their 40s. And they definitely thought I was in my 20s. And I was like, yeah, because I had a fake ID. And I was like, I fucking Penny Lane to the max. But anyways, the song, the lyrics refer to events of July 7th, 1968, the legalized pot rally in Hyde Park, London, in which police made arrests for marijuana possessions. The lyrics reflect Plant's quest for a better society, a place and time when hang-ups are replaced with individual freedom and a life of mutual support and rapport. So it's kind of actually what it is about. Hand it on over to your number three.
So my number three, which, as I said, was originally my number four, but I switched it for the sake of conversational flow, is the song from House of the Holy that made it on to my list. It's probably the the lamest song on my list, I think, by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sure there's a bunch of Led Zeppelin fans that are about to be like, what a fucking nerd. But what can I say? I like reggae music. I went with Dire Maker.
That was one that almost made my list. I love that song so much. It's on my honorable mention, but I don't think I am a big Led Zeppelin fan and I fucking love this song.
I think what I like about the song is that it doesn't really fit in with what you think Led Zeppelin sounds like at all.
Baby, and
it,
I love you. Oh.
Like, it reminds me more of, you know what song it kind of reminds me of in a weird way? Is like Blondie's The Tide Is High.
Totally.
Like, it's got like that same vibe.
Like, but you know, someone just did a cover of this song not too long ago. It was super like, oh. You don't have
get
to
the
go.
Fuck away from me.
And it was like a big pop, like huge on the radio. I'll have to look up who's saying, I don't really care. And I was like, this is shit. And everyone loved it.
No,
I was like, you guys, they like totally fucked it up. But
yeah, it needs to have that stoner jam vibe to it.
Yeah, but it comes back into that, like, they're doing a cool reggae tone on the beach, but he can't not like, oh, baby, I love you. Like, it's just,
Here's something interesting. Just randomly kicking into Wikipedia. Axl Rose has actually cited this is a song that meant a lot to him as a teenager. He said it's the song that got him into heavy rock music. And I actually can kind of hear that in his vocal delivery in this compared to like how Axl Rose sings, especially in comparison to a lot of like the other Sunset Strip 80s hair metal bands. He definitely had a little bit more of that like gravelly kind of don't give a fuck type singing style. So awesome. And Rolling Stone ranked it as the number 20th song on their 40 greatest Led Zeppelin songs. So I guess has it been good company?
Yeah. Anything on Houses of the Holy is going to be gold.
Yeah. I've seen people really trash that one.
Well, you know
times.
What? They should be trashed because they are trash, Matt.
Yes, agreed. All right, so you're number two.
You can count. You should go back to Sesame Street, just a little FYI. My number two is Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You from the album Led Zeppelin. January 12th, 1969 is the release, and it was recorded a year earlier, 1968, in October. This song I love. Talk about a sexy fucking song. It's that slow, you know, again, we're starting off slow. It's that real, baby, I'm gonna leave you. And the buildup of the dun 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 dun, ah, baby. It's just so like, ugh. You know, it's back to that. I'm holding on to something, revving, but it the angst of that tension of a bad relationship even, and that kind of is so in there. But I actually didn't know this. This was a cover, and it was...
Oh.
Yeah. Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You was a folk song written by Anne Bredon in the late 1950s. And then Joan Baez recorded a solo version of her 1962 album. This is where we come in. So Jimmy Page had heard Baez's version and began developing Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You early in his career as a session guitarist. He played the song for singer Robert Plant during their first meeting at Page's Riverside home in Pangemorne, doesn't matter, in late July 1968. Their manager, Richard Cole, in his book claims that the arrangement evolved when Plant played Page the guitar part and eventually appeared on the album. However, this is refuted by Page. In an interview, Page commented, "I used to do the song in the days of sitting in the darkness, playing my six string behind Marianne Faithfull. So this kind of is a very, like, I didn't realize how much weight this song holds. First, I didn't know it was a cover, but that it kind of is almost like the start of Led Zeppelin. It's on their first album, and it's their first meeting. He plays it for him, and it's kind of something that's already been in the works. And so it is a very different version than the original, and they came up with their own approach, which is a very Zeppelin approach. And they incorporate, you know, the hard rock sections with the electric guitar, which was very different. And they more than doubled the length of the original song. So when
that sounds very Led Zeppelin as well.
Yeah, totally. I mean, their song kind of, it goes on forever and ever. And so that was all kind of funsies. I didn't know any of that, but I do love this song. It's just another, when I was back in my circus aerialist days, I would always, even I still do it now. And as a dancer, when I hear certain songs, I am either creating acts or I'm like, this would be a cool dance number. This would be a cool music video. And I'm constantly just like seeing things. And this song was always one on my list of like, fuck, this would be a dope aerial hoop act of, you know, real slumped over sexy slinky stuff. And then when it builds up to just hold on with one arm and just get a really fucking fast spin going. And that's when the hoop goes up and you're spinning aggressively. I was just like, oh, this would be so cool. So I always kind of have this like act I never did and never created to this song. And I always hold those
one day.
I don't think so. I think those days are over. I might dig around in a gym, but I'm not, my shoulders would not appreciate that.
Well, you get to talk some more because number two would have been Immigrant Song for me. So you're number one.
Haha. I get to skip you and I get to go twice. All right. My number one is from the album Led Zeppelin II, released October 22nd, 1969. Oh. Recorded January of 1969, and it is What Is and What Should Never Be.
And if I say to you tomorrow, take my hand, child, come with.
Not just give away what my number one is, I think it's very interesting that neither one of us
Stairway.
Put Staircase.
You know what? I don't. You said that earlier, and you're like, it'll probably be on our list. And I was like, it's not on mine. I really... I'm not a big Stairway fan. Like, it's a beautiful song, but I think it's, you know, it's a classic for a reason, but it does not deserve a spot on my top five.
Well, there we go. All right, so why is this your number one Zeppelin song?
Okay, talk about a sexy fucking song. And again, it's obviously, it's clear at this point why I love Led Zeppelin so much. It's that slow to fast, that soft to hard mix that they do so well. And this song, it just does it so well back and forth of that... You know, slow, and if I say to you tomorrow, down, into the aggression, away in that sky, way up high, and you just like extreme, like tantrum fit.
Yeah, it's like you're gonna just fucking break some walls.
Yeah, it is. It's like flipping tables and. And I actually, this is another one of those music videos in my mind song. And even when it goes high and then it goes back into the... That kind of calm days. So I had this idea and I told a friend, he's a videographer, and we never did it. Maybe one day I will do this as a passion project. But I thought it would be really cool to rent a motel room and kind of... trash the motel room, get candles everywhere, empty bottles. And I want it to be almost like in a nightgown negligee, have makeup running down my face, look like I've just been in there for days on a whatever, be it heroin binger,
binder
of like hard drugs. And kind of going around, and it's just like in my head, you know, I'm stumbling around and it's, I'm thinking I'm looking a certain way and this, that, but it's during kind of the slow music, you're getting the motel version, and at one point maybe it's kind of a simulating that I'm shooting up again, and it zooms into my eye, the pupils go big, and then in my pupil you can see this kind of black come to light, and it's me in a like almost stage setting in this hot rocker, like dancing crazy hard, looking incredible, makeup, hair on point, fantastic. And then as it goes slow, it goes back into, you know, it doesn't even have to be me, this girl that's kind of just a mess, maybe gets in the bath, and then that turns into the vision of the hard rock girl with like water, and it's, but it's like as this person's moseying around the motel room looking, you know, you're kind of like maybe then going back and forth between some of the like crazy dance moves, performing this, that the imaginary vision of this girl is doing. You kind of see her, like, how she thinks she's doing that, just so drugged out, like barely walking, but it's kind of reminiscence of what she's seeing in her mind. So that was always the music video idea I had to this song, and I really, again, attached. I attached to some of my artistic ideas. They make the songs a little more like, oh, I love this song. If I can see something to it, then there's a reason I love it. But this song was one of the first songs on which Page used his soon-to-become trademark Gibson Les Paul for recording. And the production makes liberal use of a stereo as the guitars pan back and forth between channels. Then, of course, obviously, Plant's vocals were phased during the verse, and he has his iconic sound. The producer, Rick Rubin, remarked that the descending riff of this song is amazing. It's like a bow is being drawn back, and then it releases. The rhythm of the vocals is almost like a rap. It's insane. One of their most psychedelic songs. Which again, totally agree.
And that was that. That's not the producer of the song. That's just Rick Rubin, the producer, said that.
But this is one of the first songs that recorded by the band for which Robert Plant received writing credits. There is a theory. Rock journalist Stephen Davis, who is the author of Led Zeppelin's biography Hammer of the Gods, the Led Zeppelin saga, said that the lyrics of the song reflect a romance Plant had with his wife's younger sister.
Gotcha.
And the lyrics do kind of talk about a romance that it's imagining. What if we ran away? What if we just fled this all and did it? But it can never be. And so that it is that theme, but it is interesting to go like, oh, that would be a forbidden. I mean, your wife's younger sister. That's a no-no. Yeah. But I do, speaking of also music and movies and why I love the way that they're tied in, I thought this song was used beautifully in the soundtrack of The Silver Linings Playbook. There's the moment when Bradley Cooper kind of loses his shit in his house, and he literally is doing what I said, what we were talking about, like throwing tables, where when he starts freaking out and going through this fit, he's trying to find the tape. I think it's his wedding tape, right? And he's busting through all the boxes, and his parents are like, what's going on? It's when this song pumps into the day way up high. You know, that, and oh, it's just so good. It's so good. Anyways.
Love it. All right. My number one is a song that I think is one of the greatest rock songs of all time. And I have a great memory of it too, which is Black Dog.
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
Oh, okay.
I fucking love Black Dog. A lot of people have commented about this before. I've discussed this on multiple music podcasts, that the internal clock from a musicianship stance of those stops and restarts is insane. And what I'm referring to is the, like, you know, hey, mama said the way you groove, gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove. One, two, three, four. But like the whole band kicking it, like to hit that perfectly without, because there's no click or anything. They all have to have that internal clock in sync, which is crazy.
That's true. I mean, it's if you're a musician or a musically based person, it's like you do hear it, but it's to be so perfect and in sync with your bandmates as well.
And the time signature is kind of all over the place on that song, because that guitar riff is like, it's from a musical theory stance, that song is wild. But the memory that I have in that is that I am a mediocre guitar player, but I'm also a mediocre drummer. And when I was in 11th grade, I was asked, because I was doing stage crew, to drum in the senior variety show, because a group of seniors had formed a band and they needed someone who could play drums. And they were just doing Soul Man. I didn't have to do anything fancy. I just had to be able to keep the 2-4 for everybody else. We're practicing in the backstage area. Well, so like on stage, they were doing the rehearsals for the variety show, and then we would take maybe an hour and a half and go into where the band would, like the school band would practice, and we would just run through Soul Man over and over and over again. And at the time, our school was doing a book, like a book drive, and they were storing all of the books in that room. And to break the tension, we had played Soul Man 3 or 4 times. Something wasn't clicking. We were all in a bad headspace. And out of nowhere, the lead singer walks up to the kid who's a guitarist, and he just whispered something random in his ear. And all of a sudden, he picks up the book Green Eggs and Ham. And he just goes, I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. And all of a sudden, we all just picked up on what was going on. And we just started playing the riff to Black Dog while he just read line for line Green Eggs and Ham for like
kind of brilliant.
2 or 3 minutes. It was so much fun. It broke the tension. Like, it really just like got us in the right headspace to just have fun playing a song together. And then pretty much from that point on, every practice of Soul Man, it was just like, we're not a real band. We're just doing this for fun. Let's just fucking have fun. And like, it was probably one of my favorite high school moments, was just me and a bunch of people that I barely knew just goofing around with a Dr. Seuss book and a Led Zeppelin classic. So there's no way that Black Dog was not going to be my number one for that reason alone.
There's that sentiment.
But it's also just a great song. It's a great little song. And we can talk about some honorable mentions after this break.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made.
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscovered Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast. Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
Gelsey, my only honorable mention was Stairway to Heaven, which we kind of were just like, doesn't deserve to be in either of our top five.
And you honorably mentioned it? I mean, I guess if you're you can't not, but it didn't even make my honorable mentions. I'm not going to lie. Like, I put it on and I'm just like, people might call me crazy. I just don't feel anything. No Stairway. Denied.
So denied. There. Are you familiar with a guy named Richard Cheese?
Nope.
Okay. So he's a lounge act out in Vegas. He goes by Richard Cheese in the Lounge Against the Machine. And all he does is lounge versions of like heavy metal songs. He was in his cover of Disturbed's Down With the Sickness was in the 2004 Dawn of the Dead movie. But one of his first big things was he did a lounge version of Stairway to Heaven, which is my actual preferred version of it, which is probably why I put on the honorable mention, because sure, the song's all right, but when you hear someone's like, there's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold,
I hate
and
it
she's
so much.
Purchasing a stairway to heaven.
But it's great. It's kind of great. Obviously, Dire Maker is on mine. I already said that.
Yeah.
I have to give a shout out to Ramble On. Such a great Ramble On.
Yeah.
It's so classic. And then this almost made my top five. Like, I wrote these all down first, and then I kind of had to be like, okay, what's the deal? And this one, I really sat with for a second, but I was like, it's going to get an honorable mention. That's Fools in the Rain. And it's that just kind of jazzy. Dun, 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 oh, I'm baby. And when they have the mid-song breakdown of the piano come in and that, dun, 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 it's just so fucking great. But yeah, it didn't make my top five. So Shout out to Fool in the Rain.
All right, fair enough. Kelsey, if there's some diehard fans out there that feel slighted that their favorite Zeppelin song didn't make either one of our top five lists, where can they go to air those grievances?
Yes, please air your grievances on Instagram. You can find us at beforemytime_podcast or search us on Facebook. Just search Before My Time, we'll pop up. Let us know how pissed you are and absolutely distraught that we did not mention your favorite Led Zeppelin song, because there's some great ones we did not hit. Let's kill it. Don't say, I don't know why I just said that. Let's be honest. There's so many great hits. Somehow me trying to say that was let's kill it. So I guess that's it. You can kill my enthusiasm with your disgruntled notes. Let's say that. And if you want to be more disgruntled, why don't you flip that and give us a 5-star review, like on the opposite spectrum of disgruntled. It helps us a lot and gets us into views of new listeners just like yourself. Thanks so much for tuning in. I thank each and every one of you and can't wait to come back with you. God, why can't I talk all of a sudden? I think I'm having a stroke, Matt. See you next time. Bye.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made.
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscovered Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast. Come, baby, come, baby, baby, come, come. Come, baby, come, baby,
baby, come. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.